Do need your prayers this morning. Appreciate the sweet prayer, Brother Charles, and thank God for him and for the prayer that the Lord gave him this morning. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you this morning from the book of 1 Peter. Probably read the entirety of the first chapter in your hearing, and there are 25 verses in the first chapter. We certainly don't pretend to think we're going to make an effort to speak from all of them, but as the Lord leads us, we want to present a few things if God would give us the grace to do it and continue to lead us in the way we feel at this moment. You pray above everything that I'll follow the leadership of the Spirit. If I do that, we'll be all right. And if I don't do that, well, we're in trouble. And so you just pray for me. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That's hard to read that without stopping and saying something about the wonderful things that are here. But it's good to read it too. Just read it. The word of God, in the book of Revelations, it says, blessed are they that read the words of this book. And I'm telling you, the entirety of the Bible is that way. You're blessed to read the book. And how wonderful it is when the Lord allows you to have a light to see. And His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It just explains so much about what's going on in our lives. And explains so much about who we are and why we're here and what we're about and what we ought to be about. And how we're to face really every single day that you live. We believe that one day the Lord's going to return. I surely hope you believe that. And I hope you believe it in the sense that it doesn't scare you to death or you're afraid to death of that. I hope you believe that because a Savior loved you and a Father loved you and the Holy Spirit loved you and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit loved you in covenant before the foundation of the world. Because of that work of redemption at Calvary, when the Lord comes back, it's not going to be a fearful sound for you, but a blessed sound where He says, come, you blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And that will be a glorious day. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. Now, we're not going to fly away because we grow wings ourselves and fly away. We're not going to fly away by our own power, by our own might. The very moment we die, we're going to stay right where we are. Until someone picks us up and carries us somewhere else because we have no ability to move our physical bodies. And our soul and our spirit that depart from our bodies does not have the power to carry itself from this world, this earthly terrestrial world, to a heavenly celestial world. We don't have that power. But I'm telling you, we have one who will come in at death or will come And when He comes again and carry us out of this old troubled world to be with Him in glory. And what a glorious appearing that will be of our Savior. Now you may have some uncertainty about that right now because of our own condition. I have some uncertainty. Even though I believe, I have unbelief. Even though I have a spirit, I believe of the Lord that's in me. There are some of the old flesh that we always battle. Some of those doubts, some of those fears, some of those concerns, some of the reality of our nature that hinders us from really enjoying in fullness, the wonderful hope and thought of being with the Lord fully. Sometimes we're like the disciples when He said, one of you shall betray me. And you know what amazed me about that? Every one of them said this, is it I? Is it I? Somebody said, well, if I'd been there, I'd have known it wouldn't have been me. Listen, you better watch it. Phariseeism, hypocrisy can eat you up. And if you're not careful, you're thinking that you're doing this and that the Lord is yours because of what you've done and that you by your own power and by your own might can somehow carry yourself out of this world and ascend to heaven. Listen, when we fly away, it's going to be because the Lord carries us. See, we're going to meet the Lord in the air, the scripture says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that'll be by His power and by His might that we're able to do that. And if it weren't for the Lord keeping us, none of us would be kept. If the Lord didn't preserve us, it'd be like you making efforts to preserve your fruits and your vegetables. Sometimes you're successful, but occasionally you mess up. Even though you've done your best, you might find a can that didn't quite make it. That would be a sad thing if God was like us. Listen, everyone He seeks, He finds. Everyone He came to save, He saved. Everyone that is preserved is preserved. In the scripture here, we read it in your hearing, there's an inheritance that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, and you are kept, you are preserved. How? By the power of God And he gives us faith, whereby we are enabled to believe that through faith unto salvation. As we do believe that, we find a peace and a rest. Are you at peace today? If you're truly at peace about this, it'll be because of the faith he's given you, allowing you to trust completely, not in what you've done for him, but in what he's done for you. Listen, I've made so many mess ups, I dare not trust in myself. And I've made enough mess ups, and you've made enough mess ups, so we sure don't want to trust in one another. But I'm telling you, you and I can trust and should trust and need to trust in the one who has never failed. And when you trust in him, there is salvation in that. There is deliverance. That isn't how you get washed in the blood of the Lamb. You were washed in the blood of the Lamb when Jesus took and hung and was hung on a cross, when he was nailed there, and the blood flowed from the hinder sea to the former sea. And he shed his blood. That's when you were washed and cleansed and your sins were removed from you. But I'm telling you, in your conscience and in your heart, there's a deliverance that comes when you say, I'm trusting in him. If you're trusting in something else, you may indeed be clean, but you're not having any peace about it. You won't get any peace. I need a little peace in this world, don't you? I need rest. I need to, you know, the reason the Bible was written is that your joy might be full. The reason the Bible was written that you might truly honor God today, that you might be glorifying Him, that you may have your minds girt up. And gird your minds with the truth. And you might go forth as that one in Luke 12 that was waiting for the appearing of the Lord as the Lord would return from the wedding. And they stood with their lamps all trimmed and bright. And their eyes were waiting and watching and looking for him at the appearing of their Lord. Every day I ought to get up in the morning and look for my Lord. I come to the garden alone. Why come to the garden? Because it's there that he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the voice I hear falling on my ear is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have his appearing. Listen, I talked about an appearing that's coming one day, but I'm saying right now, this morning, today, as you sit in these in this congregation, as you have fellowship with one another, there's an appearing that we and you and I should never miss. What did he say? We're two or three. We've got more than that here this morning. We're gathered together. We're gathered together. I hope we're together. I hope we're not apart. I hope our focus is on the Lord. I hope our thoughts are on the Lord. I hope we're looking to the Lord. We're praying to the Lord. We're singing to the Lord. We're loving one another in the Lord with this unfeigned love that comes from Him. And we're looking to Him. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name. And that means not just to say the name of Jesus, not to put His name just on the door, but put it in your walk and in your talk. And in your life and in your conversation and the way you behave and the way you think, and realize I need him this morning. Listen, our preacher won't preach unless the Lord's with him. I will not hear his preaching unless the Lord's with me. I need him to sit with me. I need communion with him. I'm in trouble in this world. I need to see that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I need to know him in the sense of knowing his manifest presence with me this morning. See, he's in control of you're not in control of the animals, but he's in control of the animals. When it came time for Noah to have the ark filled, it wasn't any problem. Somebody said, how did he get all those animals on that ark? I'm telling you, the God who made every one of them commanded them to come. He didn't have to do anything but sit back and watch the orderly working of Almighty God fill an ark. I don't know. Somebody said, how did he feed them? Any way he wanted to. He could have put them to sleep. He could have fed them all. Any way that somebody said it would be impossible. Yes, with man it's impossible. I'm telling you, everything in this world is impossible with man. Man couldn't have made this world. Man can't keep this world. Man can't cause the sun to come up in the morning, nor keep it from going across the sky. Man, by his thoughts, according to the scripture, can't add one cubit to his stature. And that doesn't only mean your height, it means the length of your days. You can't make yourself live any longer. And the doctors can't either, outside of the permissive will of Almighty God. But I'm telling you, we're in the hands of one today that at his appearing, when you see him, you know and can sing from your heart the hymn we sang at the very beginning, "It is well with my soul." And I need to see him. I need his appearing every day. And you do too. You see, when the Bible speaks of his appearing, many times, a guess, of course, it's speaking of that appearing that will come. When we die, there's an appearing that will come. I pray that that'll come, don't you? I don't want to die and leave this old world without seeing my Savior. There's a sting in death that God's little children need to understand he's taken. He said, "O death, where is thy sting?" The Apostle Paul writes, "O grave, where is thy victory?" And there's a sting that would come to think we're, you know, leaving this world. But I'm telling you, you won't go that way alone. We sing another hymn that says, "There's a light at the river." I'm telling you, Jesus is that light. That hymn says that. And without that light being at the river, I'd be afraid to die. If that light doesn't stand by me and be my advocate, be my propitiation, be my everything, then I'm going to stand before a holy, righteous God guilty, and there will be no hope for me. But my trust and my faith that God has given me, I hope and pray, is in what he did for me, that at that day he will stand as my advocate. And I'll be able to hear, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Now who's going to get that? Every one of the elect. Who did he write to here? He wrote to the elect. There was some elect that he wrote to expressly here, scattered throughout these various places. And he told them that they are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. So much good stuff. I mean, not just stuff. Truth that's here. See, God's children need to understand this world is not going to always be easy. If you study the writings of the Bible, you'll see that those early churches, those first century churches, suffered like unbelievably for the name and the cause of Christ. They were persecuted. They were sawn asunder. They were martyred. They were crucified. They were treated in such really we couldn't imagine how hard and difficult life was for them so much of the time. Sometimes you and I think we're having it tough in this day and time. And I'm not saying it's not tough. Listen, my hangnail is my hangnail. And for me, it's tough. And, you know, if it's not this you're going through, it's something else, isn't it? You get a big problem. If you don't have a big problem, our nature will make a big problem out of a little problem. We have trouble and trials in this world. Everything doesn't go smoothly. Everybody in your family doesn't always go. Everything doesn't go okay all the time. You have troubles. You have troubles on the job. You have troubles in your day-to-day life. You have troubles even in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have difficulties that you face along life's way. This world is not our final resting place. We are making a sojourn here. That word simply means we got a journey between here and getting home to glory. But the good news is that we can make that trip in the peace and the rest and the joy that's in the Lord. When do you need him? Well, if you don't know it this morning, I'm telling you, you need him right now. But most probably already knew that. The good news is, he's there. We need to see him. I need to see him, don't you? I need to hear him. I need to hear from him. And in his word, he speaks. He says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season." And we do have seasons. You have some seasons that you just feel completely overwhelmed. And then you have a season where it seems like, well, everything's straightening up. I got everything kind of clearing up. Get through this. I told one little sister this morning, I got some things passed this week that now are kind of passed and it seems like they're clearing up. Well, just guess what? Something else is going to come right around the bend. I got one thing that's feeling better, something else starts hurting. I got this problem out of the way and there comes another one. There's this difficulty you're going to see. You're going to see it more and more and more and more until finally, just hang in there, it'll get worse. And then in yourself, it gets worse and worse. But here's the beauty of this truth. Paul said this, "When I am weak, then am I strong. And it's in the fiery furnace of tribulation that the Lord often shows his face the brightest. Can you imagine being in a fiery furnace like three little Hebrew children, Azariah and Hananiah and Mishael, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, being cast into that fiery furnace? What that would have been like to say, oh boy, this is it, you know, here we go. And just to make sure that it was going to be it, the old king said, you heat that thing seven times hotter than it was wont to be heated. I'm not sure all that meant. I just know it would burn. I know it destroyed a whole lot of people. They threw those boys over into that furnace. And three of them went in bound, and the strongest of the men that threw them in that furnace died from the heat of the furnace. So there's no question about it. Scientific evidence right there. It was hot. They went over into that hot, fiery furnace, and when the king looked over in there and said, did we not cast in three men bound? But I see four men loosed. All the tribulation did was unleash them. And the reason that they were unleashed is because there was a Savior there who set them free. There was a Savior there who protected them from the fire. It protected them from the fire. It even protected them from the smell of the smoke. There wasn't even any evidence at all they'd been through it. It just simply unloosed them as they went through the trouble. Listen, in this old world, you go through a lot of bumps along the way, a lot of trouble. Sometimes you feel overwhelmed, don't you? Sometimes you think, Lord, you know, I know you said you're going to never leave me. You're never going to forsake me, but where are you? Lord, I feel the need of thy presence. I need, and yet in that midst of that trouble, what does that do for the little child of grace? It makes you trust in him. Tribulation, we're told in the Word of God, the Apostle Paul said, the glory in your tribulations also, why? For tribulation worketh patience. I'll tell you what you have to do. You just have to stop and wait. And boy, we don't like to do that, do we? It's like a little sign says, Lord, give me patience and do it right away. I need it, right? You know, you do it in a hurry. Tribulation worketh patience. And when you ask for that patience, be careful what you're asking for, because the trouble comes as a result of that, and you learn patience through those sufferings that you have and those trials, and you have trials of faith that you have in this world. Tribulation worketh patience. And then patience works experience. What does that mean? That means when you learn to wait on the Lord, you'll see how wonderful the Lord is every single time. Because he always comes through. He doesn't come through the way you want, because the way you want is not the best way. He doesn't come through the way you think, or I think, because the way you and I think are not like the way he thinks. As high as the, you know this, heavens are above the earth, his ways and his thoughts are above our ways and thoughts. That's why God's way is not our way. And that's why you and I need to think more like him and less like us. Where in the world am I? You may be in tribulation, worth it. Patience, experience. Experience hope. Some people don't give a hoot about hope. They've lost what the word hope truly means. They don't understand what a biblical hope truly is. Experience worketh hope. When I've trusted in the Lord and he's come through, when I've leaned on him and I've found help in the midst of the storm of life, the next cloud doesn't look so bad, because I remember that the Lord who was with me in the last storm is going to be the same Lord who's with me when this one comes, and the next one comes, and the final one comes. And one day he's promised, this Lord who's been so good to me has promised that the storms at some point are going to completely end, and there'll be no more storms, and I'll be forever with him in glory. And all that's wrong with me, which is so much, is going to be fixed and made right. And all of my voices that want to praise him will be made perfect, and I can praise him with a perfect voice and a perfect way and a perfect manner. And that's hope. Hope to get you through this morning. Hope to get you through when the groundhog shows up. Hope to get you through when your little boy gets some sickness. Hope to get you through when your loved ones are in trouble. Hope to get you through in this old world that's full of all kinds of problems. Listen, the old adversary will hit you on every hand with this and that. And he will always have you question, does God really love you? Does he really care for you? Sometimes even where God's little children, I've heard them say this, in their weakness say, I don't know what I've done so wrong to deserve this. And the answer to that is you've done enough wrong to deserve a whole lot more than this. And you know they don't like the answer, and I don't either, but it's the fact. Today if I stood before God and got what I deserved, I'd be cast away from Him forever. Not in a place of happiness, but in a place of punishment. God has been so good to me. Has He not been that way to you? And He's supplied over and over again. And when you're going through these trials, there is a purpose in that. Listen, that the trial of your faith, experience hope. Hope maketh, and what does hope do? And hope maketh not ashamed. Hope is a trust in the Lord. Hope is built on faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you don't have much appreciation for hope, you don't have much appreciation for faith. You need faith to be able to hope. And faith is not something I can give you, but it is the gift of God. And when you operate in faith, the definition of operating in faith is really to have hope in the Lord. I don't see it all together and know it all together, but I have a sweet hope that's better than my sight and better than my natural knowledge. It's better to live by hope than your own imperfect knowing. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to get the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's yes at the end of time. Yes, it's at death. But it is every single day that you live and God blesses you to see Him. It may be as you're riding down the highway. It may be when you get up in the morning and your food is on your table and you bow your head and you feel like He's sitting with you at the meal. It may be at a hospital when you feel a loved one is in great need and you feel His presence. Have you felt that? I have. I felt His presence in a hospital room. I felt His presence in nursing homes. I felt His presence at kitchen table. I felt His presence in a van riding down a highway. I'll tell you, the conversation in a van is a whole lot different when we feel His presence and than when we forget His presence. And I think all of us can confess to times we've done both. Oh, to feel Him and to know Him and to remember Him, it makes life worth living. And without that, if you gain the whole world and don't have that, you lose your own soul. Which means, that word literally means your life. It is how you purify your life by obeying the truth. Purify your souls by the obeying the truth. It isn't how you get right enough to go to heaven. It's how you clean up your life by following what the Word of God says. Of course, you can't do that without the Spirit in you, working in you, giving you the will and the want to and the ability. But what I'm simply saying this morning is you and I need to fix our thinking. Boy, time's gone. Whom having not seen, you love. Do you love Him today? I've never seen Jesus with my natural eye. I know there have been those who had visions. I'm not questioning those kinds of things or saying anything about it. I've seen Him in His Word, though. I've seen Him. I've heard His voice speaking to me. I've had Him direct me. I've had Him lead me and speak to me in my life. I felt Him. I felt the closeness of being with Him. And I felt what it... And you say, well, I don't know whether I have. Well, let me ask you this. Have you felt the emptiness when you can't feel Him? Now, if you can feel the emptiness when you can't feel Him, you must have had at some point His presence. Is that not true? A preacher who feels like he didn't do a good job and didn't preach that day, evidently at some point had been blessed of the Lord to preach. Otherwise, he wouldn't know the difference when he could, when he couldn't. And so even in our failures, you say, well, I was at church today and I just didn't feel Him. That's not a good feeling, but it is a blessing to know that at some time you were at church and you did feel him, or you would never know the difference. Be thankful you know the difference when you can and can't feel him. And when you can't feel him, beg, call on him. He loves to hear from his children. He has commanded us to pray without ceasing. He's commanded us. And I'm telling you, when you're in trouble, when anger rises up in you and you feel it's going to overwhelm you, rather than going in that way, you turn and say, Lord, humble my spirit. Hold my tongue, because you won't be able to. You can't bridle your tongue. It's impossible with man to do that, but not with God. God can keep your tongue. God can help you keep your mouth shut when you need to, and help you speak up in boldness when you need to. God can help you in every step of the way. Not only can, He is our help. He is our only help. He says, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, that is physically, yet believing, you rejoice. Oh, rejoice with what? Joy unspeakable. Joy enough to make you cry. Joy enough to make you to smile. Joy in the Lord. Joy in the midst of your trouble. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And you have that when you think on these things, the things that are lovely and just and true, the things of the Lord, and that are laid out there in that Philippian letter. And if our minds and our thoughts upon those things, how we find peace and rest that passeth understanding in this old troubled world. He said, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And time is gone, but I'm going to just share with you verse 13. Just a minute. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought to you, unto you, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Preaching helps us gird up our minds. Gird up, Brother Jamie shared this with us at one time. For those of you who remember that, he compared this word to one that's pretty familiar with us, a girdle. And gird up kind of holds things in and keeps things close together, compacts things, it holds things together. To gird up is to clothe yourself. To gird up is to put on. The gird up the loins of your mind. What should be going on in our minds? It's our minds. Listen, the hearts of God's children are pure. The hearts of God's children, the laws have been written on your hearts and your minds. The heart isn't the problem for God's people. That's a heart that's been circumcised by the hand of God. A perfect work done in the heart. But our heads need to be conformed, transformed. Our minds need to be transformed. And that means we need to have our minds clothed with the truth. And that means we need to remember who we are and what the Lord's called us to do. And remember who He is and where our strength comes from. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. To be sober is to think based upon the truth. To remember what the Lord's done. You can get intoxicated with this world. When you get intoxicated, you know, when you get physically intoxicated, you're not in touch with reality. A man who's physically, or a woman who's physically intoxicated, is not in touch with reality. They think things that aren't true. They behave in ways that aren't real. They don't remember things. A lot of things happens to you when you get intoxicated. Hope you've never been intoxicated, but some of us probably know. Well, I won't go into that. You don't have to just drink alcohol to get intoxicated. I'm telling you, this world can intoxicate you. It'll mess up your thinking. It'll mess up your reality. It'll mess up how you see evil. It'll mess up how you see good. It'll mess up how you see blessings. It'll mess up how you see trouble. It'll mess up how you look at things in this world. Your thinking gets mixed up. Your thinking gets confused. Happiness does not come by everything getting straightened out. Happiness and peace and rest doesn't come by circumstances changing necessarily. Happiness doesn't come when a sick man gets well all the time. Happiness doesn't come when a sick man continues to be sick. Happiness and joy and peace and rest is not based in that, and yet the world would say that it is. Because we, when we think like that, we have become intoxicated. And I'm saying to you, and I'm going to close with this, just sober up. We need to sober up. So Brother Gary just called us all in and said, you were drunk, sober up. No, I'm saying we get intoxicated and we need to sober up. What does that mean? That means I need to remember the things that are taught in God's Word and clothe my mind, gird up your loins with the truth. And I really need to remember that when I go into a trouble, that I have a God who's bigger than my trouble, who's promised never to leave me nor forsake me. So why am I afraid? If He can clothe the lilies so wonderfully well, if He can feed the sparrows so wonderfully well, will He not take more care of you, O ye of little faith? The answer is absolutely He will. Are you not more valued to Him than the sparrows and the lilies? He loved you so much that He didn't send His only begotten Son for sparrows and lilies. He sent His only begotten Son for you, His elect. You need to clothe your mind with that. Gird up your loins with that. Everything looks different when you do that. Every day looks different. And you need to remember every day I need Him. I need Him this moment. I need Him this moment. If I'm going to preach, I need Him this moment. If you're going to hear, you need Him this moment. If you're going to get home, listen, you may feel like, you ever worry about your children? You ever worry about your children? How much time I've spent worrying about what's going to happen here? What's going to happen there? And it's all because I got intoxicated. And I needed to sober up and remember. That doesn't mean I don't care about them. You should care about them. Care enough to get down on your knees and pray to a God who can take care of them and protect them and keep them. You ever worry about how bad the world's getting and what they're going to have to live in this world? Yes, I do. But I'm telling you, the same God who's kept me and you is there for them. And as we look to Him, we have every reason to look to Him with hope. And how long to hope? To the end. To the end. Don't be intoxicated. Have you been a little intoxicated? Sober up. Remember, you have a Savior who's worthy of your trust. Great is His faithfulness. He will not, cannot fail. You are His child. He loved you enough to die for you. How will He not also freely give us all things? That is, whatsoever we need. Until the time comes for us to die, and when that happens, it won't be a bad day. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. And hope to the end for the grace. What are we looking for? Grace. Need grace. That's old Baptist grace. It's not just old Baptist grace. It's God's little children's grace. Grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I do appreciate your kind attention this morning. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
Love you, my brother. God bless you.